Our second lesson, which will also serve as our sermon text from James chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. My brothers, have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ without showing favoritism. For example, suppose a man enters your worship assembly wearing gold rings and fine clothing, and a poor man also enters wearing filthy clothing. If you look with favor on the man wearing fine clothing and say, "Sit here in this good place," but you tell the poor man, "Stand over there," or "Sit down here at my feet," have you not made a distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil opinions? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you dishonored the poor man. Don't the rich oppress you, and don't they drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who blaspheme the noble name that was pronounced over you? However, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show favoritism, you are committing a sin, since you are convicted by this law as transgressors. In fact, whoever keeps the whole law but stumbles in one point has become guilty of breaking all of it. For the one who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not commit murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law of freedom. For there will be judgment without mercy on the one who has not shown mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the recent circuit court elections, one of the local judges was advertising that she was fair, impartial, and kind. And those are pretty good things for a judge to be, especially that middle one, impartial. The classic picture of justice is a woman holding the scales of justice with a blindfold on. Justice shouldn't show favoritism. It shouldn't change the law based on appearances. You need to be impartial if you're going to be a judge, not show any favoritism. But did you know this is also essential for the Christian? Christians also are making judgments all the time, hopefully according to God's word. And because we always need to make all sorts of judgments, this is also important for the Christian. In fact, James in his letter says, you can't be a Christian and show favoritism. You need to know how to judge impartially. And this is because faith and favoritism, they don't mix. For several reasons. Faith is about the unseen. Faith loves impartially. And faith operates on mercy. Faith is about the unseen. James was talking to a group of congregations, early Christian converts from Judaism, and he needed to tackle this problem of favoritism. So he starts chapter 2 by saying, "My brothers, have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ without showing favoritism." Favoritism here is judging a book by its cover. Seeing something and just making a snap judgment based on appearances or on a faulty assumption. And James says, this doesn't work when it comes to the Christian faith. Judging according to favoritism doesn't go well with faith, because who is your faith in? Our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. We have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And he's someone you definitely could not judge like a book by its cover. When Jesus came to earth, he was poor and lowly. And he hung out with the poor and lowly. Most of the leaders, most of the rich and famous people of the day saw Jesus and thought he was worth nothing. Even now, we believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, but we won't see that glory until the last day. And so faith and favoritism can't mix because faith is about the unseen. And James needed to tackle this because there were situations happening in the early church where people were judging simply based on appearances in a way that was inconsistent with the faith. James says, for example, suppose a man enters your worship assembly wearing gold rings and fine clothing, and a poor man also enters wearing filthy clothing. If you look with favor on the man wearing fine clothing and say, sit here in this good place, but you tell the poor man, stand over there, or sit down here at my feet, have you not made a distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil opinions? You can imagine a situation like this happening at church very easily, right? Someone comes in and they're dressed fine, nice clothes, maybe even a suit. They look like a church-going person, and if you notice them, you think, you know, that looks like someone who either goes to St. Paul's or might be a good member of St. Paul's. And then the usher brings them in, and they sit in a nice spot, and we think that's pretty cool. And then someone comes in from the neighborhood, and you think, oh, those clothes don't really fit church, do they? Wearing dirty clothing doesn't look like the kind of person who comes to St. Paul's, and you think, well, I'm not sure that's someone who's going to join the church. Probably not. Maybe it's best if that person stays in the back. It's going to be distracting. James says, if that's the way we're making judgments in church or even out in the world, what are we making our judgment based on? Just appearance. Looks. James describes the rich man. He says, oh, this is bright clothing and shiny golden rings. And you see that person and you look with favor. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so if we make judgments simply based on outward appearances, James says this is very serious. He says, have you not made a distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil opinions? Can you imagine this in a court? The two parties walk in, and the judge says, no, 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 don't say anything. Guilty, innocent. All right, go on your way. A judge wouldn't last very long if they judged based on appearances. And it doesn't work well for Christians either. It has spiritual consequences. You know, in the tragedy of the Titanic, when that boat sank, 53 children died. One of those children was from first class. 52 out of the 53 kids were from third class. Class distinctions make a difference, don't they? They can have consequences. And this is true spiritually. If we're judging people simply based on appearances, we're in for a spiritual shipwreck. And this is especially inconsistent with the Christian faith, because this is not how our God treated us. James said to those early believers, listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? But you dishonored the poor man. Don't the rich oppress you, and don't they drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who blaspheme the noble name that was pronounced over you? James could look at those early congregations and say, look around. Not many of you are synagogue rulers. Not many of you are members of the ruling council, the Sanhedrin, or governors or generals. No, he could look around at those congregations and say, you're the poor in the eyes of the world. In fact, the leaders at that time, in general, were people who rejected Jesus, who approved of his death, who plotted his death. And now those people were rejecting those people who converted to Christianity. And so James says, if you have to judge on appearances, think about this. The rich, the famous, the people you're trying to pander to are the ones dragging you into court. And the poor, well, that's you. But you're only poor in the eyes of the world. He says, God has made you rich in faith. Yes, it's something you can't see, but the Lord looks at the heart. He's made you rich in faith, and he's made you heirs of faith. of an unseen kingdom. A kingdom so much more glorious than anything you can see, because it's the kingdom of Jesus' rule in your heart that gives you eternal life. So today, if we have to look, well, look around today. How many of us, when we go into the airport, have people stopping us and they want to take pictures with us? How many of us were in the tabloids this last week? Did you see at the grocery store doing this? Not many, right? Not many of us are rich and famous. Outwardly, we're kind of poor in the eyes of the world. Inwardly, even worse. We are poor in spirit. We're lowly sinners. And yet, see what God sees, this kind judge. He has chosen the poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and heirs of an unseen kingdom. When we look around here, we have to do it with blindfolds on and look with the eyes of faith and see how rich we are in a way that we can't see. So, in our interactions with other people, don't let Lady Justice be the only one with a blindfold on. Think about that same scenario, two people walking into church. How is it different if you simply know that there's two people who are coming into our church for the first time, but you have a blindfold on? You have nothing to go by, appearance-wise, to favor one over the other. You simply know, here are two people whom God can give the riches of faith. You're excited about both. Faith and favoritism don't mix, because faith is all about the unseen. And then faith is about showing love impartially. James goes on, he says, however, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. The simple summary of the commandments that have to do with people around you is this: love your neighbor as yourself. And notice how impartial that is. God doesn't say, love that person like an acquaintance, love that person like a brother, and that person like an enemy. No, God says, whoever it is, love your neighbor as yourself. A few months ago, in March, there was this video from the front of the war in Ukraine that went viral. There was a Russian who had been taken captive, prisoner of war. And in the video, you see this Russian soldier surrounded by Ukrainians, but they're not beating him up. They're not trying to kill him. No, they give him some hot tea, and they give him a snack, and he's gulping it down. And then you hear one of the Ukrainians say, it's not his fault. He's just a young man. He doesn't even know why he's here. And then somebody lends him a phone so that he can call home and make a video call to his mom. They didn't treat him like an enemy. They treated him the way they would want to be treated if they were behind enemy lines taken captive. They loved their neighbor as themselves. This is the kind of love that we have from our Savior. While we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God, Christ died for us. Pure, undeserved, impartial love for all of us. And Christ shows that kind of love every day to everyone in the world. All of us got air today. All of us got sunshine. The world kept spinning for everyone without distinction. God shows this kind of impartial love. And that's the kind of love that we show when we know what Christ has done for us. Love that goes with faith is a love that's impartial. That means you love the coworkers that drive you nuts and the coworkers that you like. It means you love the students that are a lot more work and the students that are easy. It means you love the relatives that you spend a lot of time with and the ones you don't spend a lot of time with. It means you love the people that look like you and love the people that don't look like you. Love loves impartially. And when faith operates on this kind of love, it's operating on mercy and not on judgment. And it's the final way that faith and favoritism don't mix. Faith operates on mercy, not on judgment. And it's true, naturally, we're all like judges in this world. We always have to make judgments on all sorts of things. And naturally, we often make judgments poorly, based on pride, or based on our own standards, or based on picking and choosing God's word. That leads to favoritism. There's a reason that in one survey, 93% of Americans said they were above average drivers. It doesn't even work. But all of us naturally are changing standards to show favoritism, at least to ourselves. And so James here shows these early believers, and he shows us that if we want to operate according to that kind of judgment, then we will all be equally judged by God. He says, if you show favoritism, you are committing a sin, since you are convicted by this law as transgressors. In fact, whoever keeps the whole law but stumbles in one point has become guilty of breaking all of it. For the one who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. In other words, James is saying, if you see someone else and you think they're a bad person, even if you think that according to God's law, let's say you see someone who has murdered, a murderer comes into church and you say, that person doesn't deserve to be here, God says, oh, you think you do? It's kind of like you see someone walking up to an electric fence and they put their hands on it and they're standing there being shocked and you look at them and you say, oh, I would never do that. And then you walk over to a different part of the electric fence and you put your hands there. If we're going to use God's law to judge other people as worse than ourselves, well, then we're simply putting our hands on a different part of that fence, because whoever is guilty of breaking any part of God's law is guilty of breaking all of it. And God says, if this is how you want to operate with this kind of judgmental attitude, there will be judgment without mercy on the one who has not shown mercy. But that's not the faith we have, right? We have faith in the one who showed us mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Each and every one of us in the world deserves the death penalty from our only fair and impartial divine judge, Jesus. And yet this judge, Jesus, condemned himself to death to satisfy God's judgment, to satisfy justice. He was punished so that for us, his mercy could triumph over judgment, so that he could rise again from the dead and tell us that God's law no longer stands over us in condemnation, but now it is something that we can use to show mercy to others. And so we look around and you say, well, there's a murderer. Fifth commandment says you shall not murder. And so I share that with the person, not because it makes me better than him, but because I want to drive that person to God's mercy. I see someone who's a murderer, and I say, fifth commandment says I should show love to that person. The law of freedom lets us show mercy. James says, so speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law of freedom. When God has shown us mercy, forgiven the judgment that we deserve, then we can look at God's laws not to judge ourselves as better than others, but as wonderful guidance that we are free to follow in order to show mercy to others just as we have been shown mercy. And that mercy triumphs over judgment. It did for the people in James' day. As people came into their Christian congregations who deserved condemnation from God, but God's mercy triumphed over judgment, and they were welcomed to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. Mercy has triumphed over judgment for you, given you faith, made you so rich in God's eyes. And mercy triumphed over judgment for James, too. James, the brother of Jesus, was someone who originally was very poor in the eyes of the world and poor in God's eyes, too. He was Jesus' half-brother, and he did not believe in Jesus. But mercy triumphed over judgment. After Jesus rose again from the dead, the Bible tells us he appeared to James, and he made James rich in faith, and James became a leader of the early church. And ironically, someone like James was condemned, not by God, but by the ruling people of his day. According to tradition, the rich and important people condemned James as a lawbreaker and threw him off that part of the temple that Jesus refused to jump off. And James didn't die from the fall, and so the people who condemned him were finishing him off with stones, pelting him to death. And even then, mercy triumphed over judgment. Because James, like the martyr Stephen before him, like his half-brother Jesus, as he was being stoned to death, said, "Father, forgive them." And in James' death, we see something else that faith doesn't mix with. Faith and death don't mix either. In James' death, even though he was condemned in the eyes of the world, God's mercy triumphed over judgment, and so he entered eternal life. So for you, through faith in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ, you live a life where faith and favoritism don't mix, and you do that in the hope of something else, that in the end, faith and death won't mix either, and you will see the unseen, and you will enjoy the mercy of God forever. All of this through faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.